Brett wants to come down and stay with this weekend, Rodney. Is that okay?
Brett wouldn't be able to deal with my little black dog very long.
You got him trained, right? Over the years, I've heard of people say you got to be careful when you're living in Tuscaloosa, because people all of a sudden, it's funny how they will renew their friendship from say September to December. Do you ever have that problem, Rodney? That all of a sudden people want to be. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm coming down this weekend. You don't happen to have a spare room, do you, Rodney?
No, but I realized I should have probably gone into the ticket brokering business.
Yep. Well, you're doing a pretty good business there, talking about Alabama football from A to Z. We'll get into this weekend, but let's start with the always popular topic, and that's recruiting. Nick seems to be on fire this week on the recruiting trail, Rodney.
How about that? Picked up a huge commitment last night from Shane Lee, I guess the number three regarded inside linebacker in the country. And, you know, they picked up a couple of the week before with Rashad Chaney and also Paul Tyson. Maybe forgetting somebody off the top of my head that's committed recently, but certainly off to a really, really good start right now.
Let's talk about the strategy, Rodney. We know last year Nick had his plan in place, and that's the way it was done. Then they had the two signing periods last year, and at the end of that cycle, like Nick said, wait a minute, these guys, they're kind of leaving me my pants down, so to speak, here. How did last year influence not only what's going on, but the timing of news this year, Rodney, in your opinion?
Well, I think that they, I don't want to say used last year as a learning experience. I don't want to say they approached it that way. I think they were trying to figure it out.
Right.
And, you know, how would it impact the schedule, so to speak? And I think what they found out is, you know, we need to try to wrap this recruiting class up as early as possible and make a push for, you know, 20 guys. If you're going to sign 25, let's try to get 20, 22 on the dotted line in December. So we're not, you know, battling down the stretch with a smaller pool, because what happens is, because all of a sudden, let's say a guy is he becomes more value. The value, because the talent pool shrinks, these guys become, their value goes up, and you're having to really compete at a, you know, higher level to get these guys in February, if that makes sense. So, I think they've learned that, and that's what they got from it, and I think that they'll try to close out as much of this class as possible in December this time.
Ronnie, I'm guessing you will have the latest later in the week, updated list of visitors, official visitors, unofficial visitors. I know on the offensive line, I was looking at, you've had some very good notes as far as the practices, the scrimmage, but also recruiting. Young man by the name of Darnell Wright, we talked about him a little bit on the show, from Huntington, West Virginia, five-star offensive tackle, maybe coming in this weekend. But this offensive line class, Rodney, overall, Kenyon Green, Devontae Dobbs, we've talked about Pierce Quick, the commitment Clay Webb, who obviously a lot of schools are looking at, and particularly Alabama. But on the offensive line side of it, Darnell Wright may be coming in. But that is certainly, Rodney, is always a position of need for Alabama.
Yeah, I think, as a matter of fact, posted the other day, it could possibly happen that Alabama signs four or five-star offensive linemen at this group. How would you like that? Wouldn't that be?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll see how it all shakes out, how the ratings change and what have you. But, you know, obviously they have a commitment from Pierce Quick, who I think some have as a five-star. Then you've got Clay Webb, who is listed as a five-star. Amari Cox out of Alabaster Thompson, plays with Talia Tagovailoa there. He is he's a guy that, you talk to some coaches, they'll tell you they think he's a five-star talent. Right now he's a four-star, but he's a guy that I think Alabama's in good position with, though being highly recruited. We mentioned Mel Wright, he is a five-star player, maybe the number one offensive lineman in the country. Devontae Dobbs from, up there in, where was he, from Michigan? He's visited down here, a couple of times, I think. So he's a possibility. But I tell you, a sleeper to keep an eye on, this guy over in Georgia, Kamar Bell. offensive guard type guy. Some people think he's a Chance Wormack part two. You know, a guy that was not highly regarded in terms of the star system, but it has all the talent. So that offensive line class would be really, really good.
Rodney, yours pretty doggone good following Alabama there at TiderInsider.com. Rodney, it's going to be a fun topic, and it's April. It's way too early to know for sure. But it's a fun topic, and you know where I'm going with this come February. Once the final numbers are in, we saw what happened last year. It's going to be interesting to see if Georgia retains it. Alabama's on pace to improve from last year, but the other side of that coin is, you mentioned Georgia. Kirby right now, I saw a little blurb the other day, correct me if I'm wrong, he's about to wrap up the fourth guy in his upcoming class from the top 10. To me, metal sharpens metal. It's going to be interesting to see the race between Nick and Kirby, is it not? Not the other guys are good, but these two are really ramping it up.
Yeah, and you know, Kirby has the benefit of his own state having all those players that are rated so highly in Georgia. He's doing a good job. First of all, Georgia's always recruited really well, just because of what we said. They've always had players in their state that have been rated extremely high. The key is this, and I know you're talking about recruiting, but the key is how are they going to, over the course of time, develop all these guys. And you know what really becomes difficult, Harold and Britt? It's not just about recruiting them or evaluating them, recruiting them, developing them. It becomes really about managing all of this stuff that you have to deal with. You know, that from the players that you bring in to how are you going to position them? How are you going to keep them satisfied? How are you going to sell them on buying into the process, biding their time, and while they are biding their time, you know, taking advantage of the opportunities to develop? All of those things are very important. So I think when you look at that, I'm not telling you guys anything that you don't already know, but when you look at all of those things, those are extremely important. And those are the things that really separate the great, great coach like Nick Saban from everybody else.
Ronnie, let me ask you about some of the storylines you're looking for as far as Saturday. I know you've used the word development. Everybody else wants to use the word competition. The progress of the quarterbacks, Hurts and Mac Jones. We've heard Mac Jones has had a very good spring. The tight end depth that has been developed with Irv Smith. Kedrick James, who, as you mentioned, looks like a Greek god. Hell, Hinges, Major Tennyson, Sabian Smith. A lot of people want to see what he looks like. Get a good look at Jedrick Wills, Alex Leatherwood. You can go on and on and on. But what are some of the storylines you're looking forward to seeing Saturday?
Well, I do think that it's about development. And you know, I think that one thing as you head into this thing, let's remember a couple of things. Number one is we've got a lot of new coaches, out there that we're going to see Saturday. You've got only one returning coach on the defensive side of the ball. That's Tosh LaFoy. You've got several changes on the offensive side. You know, Joe Panunzio switched positions to running back. You've got a new quarterbacks coach. You've got a new offensive coordinator. You've got a new tight ends coach, Jeff Banks. All of these changes. So a lot of these coaches being new, and not all of them are, obviously. Loxley and Panunzio were here last year. But a lot of this change, I think these coaches and the chemistry of coaching on the field together, coaching the players, all of those things are still kind of a work in progress. You know, I think it's certainly the chemistry there, but they're all still getting acclimated to each other. So I think that's something that happened this spring. And, and I think, too, that when you start looking at some of the players themselves, let's remember this when you start looking at the quarterbacks on Saturday. The reason I say, you know, development, they're not necessarily going out there with a game plan to attack a defense. They're going out there to put into certain, hopefully, see how they respond in certain situations. They may do things that they absolutely would not do in a game in terms of the play calling or whatever, just to see how they respond. And it's not about, this through this interception, but it's, this is what we did, and we've got to learn from this. This is, you know, it's about a learning experience. So that's all that this is, I think. And that's what it's all about. That's the most important part of it. I know people want to talk about, well, how did the corners look? How did this guy look? Again, it's all about the learning experience with Nick Saban, and that's what this is. Now, I'll say this. Well, all that said, those corners, I think Trevon Diggs and Sabian Smith have done really mm-hmm. well this spring. And guess what? I think they're more athletic than the two that left. Yeah. I don't think you can replace Minka Fitzpatrick, obviously, mm-hmm. but I do think Deontay Thompson's done a great job at safety, mm-hmm. and Xavier McKinney's another guy that I think is developing well, and there's others.
And that's Rodney Orr, the founder and editor of TiderInsider.com. I saw a little blurb the other day, Rodney, that this defense could be, quote, nastier. It has a nastier attitude than last year, and if you're a coach, you love to hear that. And one of the things I think that sometimes gets left in the shuffle, what makes teams good, is when you've got a good roster. Sometimes Saturday's easy. It's surviving the practice during the week. I mean, think about this offensive line. You got to go up against Raekwon Davis. You got to go up against Terrell Lewis. You got to go up against Chris Allen. Your thoughts about the attitude overall, about the nasty comment. And you always have a knack for bringing up a name in the spring that people may not like, a Tua or a Jalen. Everybody knows those names, but you always have a knack for bringing up, you better watch out for this guy. If you were asked that question now, Rodney, who would be that guy that would fit that description? You better watch out for this guy on this team. That's not necessarily being talked a whole lot about right now.
Well, the nasty comment is this, though. That, you know, yeah, I agree. This defense will have could be really good. Mm-hmm. But now, last year's defense, let's be honest, half of them were out.
Right.
90% of the season. Mm-hmm. Think about that. So kind of a difficult comparison. But as far as the guy who, you know, I would really say, as I'm thinking about it, I really like I'm hesitant to say it because he's got Hell Hinches at his position, who's had a nice spring. He's got Irv Smith, who I think is really, really good, too. But an mm-hmm. up-and-comer is, I've said it before, Kendrick James. I'm telling you, he's 6'5", 255 pounds, and you mentioned him earlier, Brett. He is a strong blocker, and mm-hmm. he is a load. He is a load after he catches the ball on the ground. I've heard that the DBs are having a hard time covering him, and they're having a hard time bringing him down once he gets the ball in his hand.
Mm-hmm. Ronnie, let me ask you about a couple other players. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
No, I was going to, Ronnie, I was going to ask you about Quinnen Williams. I've heard a lot of good things. I know they've been shuffling the defensive line. You know, Davis had just been unblockable, but we've heard a lot of good things about Quinnen Williams at nose tackle. But someone else who I think can help Alabama this year is Fedarian Mathis. And we know, Ronnie, again, you've got limited time. What have you noticed? Right. And again, I some days I know you're looking at players, units, et cetera. Have Williams, Fedarian Mathis, and maybe even Jarance Parks, have they caught your eye so far?
You know, Quinnen Williams has just really been good. I would say watch him, too. He's going to be a breakout player, definitely, on the defensive line. I see that. I see him being a real, real playmaker on the defensive line. Fedarian Mathis, well, I have watched him some this spring. You know, I've been on his bandwagon for a while.
I know. Yes.
Have not heard as much or seen as much of him this spring, but what I have watched of him, I would say this. And again, this is limited. I think that he's a guy that has all these tools that having a guy like Craig Kulikowski now coaching the defensive line really mm-hmm. going to be helpful for him. Because I think the development that Kulikowski can give him and kind of mold him, still raw, but I think Fedarian Mathis in time is going to be really good. And you ask about somebody else?
Jerez Parks.
Yeah, Jerez Parks. You know, Jerez is outside linebacker right now. Looks good. Hey, listen, if you say that guy steps in line and looks good with those freaks that he's lining up with,
right.
I mean, Terrell Lewis, and you ought to see Terrell Lewis and Chris Allen. Oh, my goodness. I mean, physically, they are freaks. And Jerez Parks lines up right in there with him and looks good, too. So, Jerez has got all the tools now. He is, we'll see. I think eventually he's going to be a player.
Well, we mentioned at the top of the interview that the Beard Boys want to come see you this weekend, yep, stay with you or not. I will make them keep their shirts on because it's one for the ages there, Rodney. But in the meantime, where can we get the very latest with you?
Well, tighterandtighter.com. It's only $48 a year. You can get instant access with your credit card right now. If you prefer, there's an address there to send a check. It gives you access to all our premium information. And also, you know, our forums, which I'm telling you guys, man, you know, there's a lot of good information on there. There's a lot of good exchange, a lot of good opinion. And if nothing else, there is always some kind of entertainment. Brett can tell you that.
I like that word, exchange.
And also entertainment, yes.
Let's take a look at that word. I've always wondered what the fancy word for that other word was.
It's a healthy
exchange.
Debate.
Exchange. Oh, okay. Now.
You would not believe that grown men, very successful men, would act with it.
Yes, I do believe it too, Ryan. Experience has taught me that I shall. Listen, buddy, 75 degrees, looks like a pretty good weekend. Looks like about 60, 70, 80, 90,000 of your closest friends coming your way this weekend. Now, Rodney, you've been prepped on it, so have a great weekend, okay?
All right, Harold, Brett, you guys take care.
Thank you, buddy.
Rodney, you're the founder and editor of TinerInsider.com.